This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Suits That Rock will return to the Carnegie's Otto M. Budig Theater stage for the 8th annual Suits That Rock concert on June 20th and 27th. The event features 40 local business and community leaders with a passion for music who gather each year to drop their briefcases and pick up their microphones as a benefit for youth education at the Carnegie. And joining us to talk about Suits That Rock are two of the founding suits, John Damasco, a CPA and community leader, Kevin Canifax, Midwest Vice President Public Affairs for Fidelity Investments, and Alicia Krall, Deputy Director of the Carnegie. And you can join our conversation at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. Good to see everybody this afternoon. Thank you for being here.
Nice to be here.
Thank you.
Good to be here.
Kevin and John, can you start out by telling us the story, since you're both are co-founders? And Kevin points to John.
Okay. John has this so well
he has this, he has
rehearsed
this well
that, yeah, he's...
Where'd this idea come from? How did this come about?
Well, Kevin and I knew each other from some community organizations that we'd been involved in together, and we were having lunch one day in 2007 about one of these organizations, and when we got through that topic, the conversation turned to music, because I knew that Kevin had done a little bit of music in his past, and so had I. And Kevin said, why not get five or six people together for just an hour in the middle of another event that already exists, and it would bring more people to the event than would otherwise be there. We'd have a great time. We knew five or six people that could make a band. We knew a judge that was a drummer and a lawyer that was a guitar player and a great performer, and Ed Rigaud from the Freedom Center was a guitar player. So we had this little band in mind. And we decided to try to execute on the idea. Well, it took a little longer to execute on it than we thought. But fast forward to 2008, and we had 20 of us, and we did a four-hour show, and we were the entire fundraiser at the Carnegie, and the Carnegie had the vision to see that this could be something that would bring people to their organization that might not otherwise have been there. They just hoped it would break even. They didn't realize that the bar was going to be a big moneymaker.
So, Kevin, this might give you a chance to see a side of your boss or your coworker that you might not have ever known about, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely, Mark. And that's one of the primary appeals of the event itself, the show, is that you will come to one of the performances and, lo and behold, a person that you see in the community that is highly regarded, well-respected, in the middle of everything important in that particular community, in this case in Northern Kentucky, Greater Cincinnati, and they're up there doing Billy Idol with their hair spiked and wearing a white shirt.
Rebel Yell,
yeah.
White wedding.
White wedding in this particular case. We're talking about Greg Shumate, of course. People were just blown away. And I think that was part of the magic elixir, if you will, when John and I talked about this, is that we knew people that had this other side to their personality and their choices in terms of activities and leisure interests outside of work, and it all oriented around music. And it was like, how do we take advantage of that? Well, let's get these people together and do a show.
And we'd both seen the looks of shock on the parts of faces that had only seen us in a boardroom.
In a suit,
and then we're up there doing rock music. It's very entertaining to stand on stage and see a whole room full of those looks.
Alicia, this is the eighth year. How well has this been doing?
This has actually been great for the Carnegie. In the past 8 years, we've raised over $460,000 for the Carnegie's education program. And the interesting thing is our education program has kind of grown along the same trajectory as Suits That Rock. We've grown a lot in the past 8 years in what we do and what we offer and how many student contact hours we have. So it's been great for the Carnegie all around.
And tell me a little bit more about the Carnegie's education program. This is arts for youth, right?
Yes, it's arts for youth. It's arts integration is really what we focus on. We work on helping children strengthen their problem-solving skills, creativity, perseverance, and we use the arts and humanities to do that. A lot of what we do is in schools. We go into classrooms and help classroom teachers work arts and humanities into their lesson plans. We also provide visual arts and music education in local schools. We have a summer camp program and an after-school program as well.
Now, John, what kind of musical backgrounds are we talking about for the performers? Are these serious musicians we're talking? I mean, or just hobbyists?
There's a little bit of everything.
Of okay.
A couple of years into Suits That Rock, someone interviewed all of the members of Suits That Rock, and the one question they asked them all was, what was the name of your first band? Which is always entertaining because some of the band names are hilarious. And the one guy looked up, and he was my age, let's say a gray beard, and he okay. said Suits That Rock. He'd never been in a band. He'd played guitar, but never connected up with anybody. And so you have people like that, and then you have people that played arena rock for 10 years in Chicago, but don't anymore. We do have a rule that none of our suits can have as their primary job musical performance. So they have to have a day job. Otherwise, they're not suits.
But I understand some of the suits have actually opened for national acts, haven't they?
Yes. Actually, I have.
Have you? Okay.
Wow. Well, we were scheduled. The band I was in the 60s was scheduled to open for Sonny and Cher here at the Music Hall. And we got there on the night of the event and had all our equipment set up and our tasteful glow-in-the-dark Nehru jackets on. And the promoter came out and said the concert's got to be canceled. Sonny and Cher are snowed in New York. So 40 years later... the band I'm in now, Glory Days, opened for Three Dog Night. So we finally made it.
You finally get to do a national opener.
But several of the others have opened for just a litany of national acts. Deviate, the...
Yeah, Melissa Singer Reed and Chuck Reed, who are in the band Deviate, which is a well-known regional rock band, they're actually opening for the Doobie Brothers on July 4th, The Taste of Blue Ash.
And Kevin, these are performers who come from all different kinds of businesses, all different companies, right?
That's correct.
Yeah. Well, what are some of the companies and some of the walks of life that these people are coming from?
Yeah, it's very diverse. I mean, as John mentioned earlier, we have a retired family court judge who has been involved with suits. Mickey Folger, who actually at one time was the drummer for Wheels, which was a very popular regional band back in the 80s. But we have lawyers from prominent law firms, Frost Brown Todd. We mentioned Greg Shoemate before over in Northern Kentucky. Paul Bromwell is the CIO, Chief Information Officer for Frost Brown Todd. I work for Fidelity. Kathy Laverty previously worked for Fifth Third Bank in their high net worth group. We have a retired emergency room nurse, Don Clare. He just retired, by the way.
Yes, just retired. Okay. Newly retired.
Yeah, he comes to rehearsals in a scrub. So, I mean, we literally get the the full effect of suits that rock, even during rehearsal. But it really runs a gamut. And that's what's great about it, because John and I have talked about this numerous times. One of the benefits, one of the many benefits of Suits at Rock, beyond the beneficiary support for the Carnegie, are the relationships that are developed. These are all individuals that are quote unquote professionals, and they develop this network within this circle of music that really pays dividends in a whole host of other examples in terms of references and project work and things of that nature. So it's really very symbiotic. It's a great relationship. It's a great nucleus for a lot of good things beyond the music.
Kevin, how much planning and how much rehearsal do you do to get ready for this event?
Quite a bit. And I actually let
and not
John,
enough.
And not enough, right. I mean, we were just talking with a group of people about this yesterday, but you know, when we do our shows, June 20th and June 27th, when those shows end, we take about 3 months off, and then there's an executive committee. John and I are members, as are Paul Bromwell and Greg Shoemate. We get together probably September, late September, early October. We kind of do a debrief of the event, and then we start talking about what we want to do the following year. And that really is centered around a theme. After year one, every year since then, we've come up with themes to kind of focus the music. So the second year for Suits at Rock was the 40th anniversary of Woodstock. So all our music was Woodstock related. But we do the themes, and then it's the process of selecting the songs. And then we start to whittle down, you know, the set list for a show, which is, you know, a 3-hour show. Vocal rehearsals usually start late February. We have a couple of those. Then we get the vocalists with the instrumentalist April, May, and then we do the show. So it's quite a lengthy process. And John is the mastermind of herding the cats, as we like to say, and that is getting everybody together to not only do their individual work, but to bring those people together to produce the actual performance.
John, is the theme different every year?
Absolutely.
Okay. So what's the theme for this year?
Theme for this year is All-Star Dance Party.
Okay, that makes sense.
In typical fashion, we're shamelessly ripping off the All-Star game being in Cincinnati. And the All-Star aspect of our performance this year is we had a fan vote on 18 songs. The top three vote-getters online were added to our set list. So we actually had a fan vote that involved what the performance will be. The dance party aspect will be every one of these songs will be songs that will either make you dance if you dance or make you wish you danced if you don't.
Kevin, can you give away some of the songs that the people will hear?
Uptown Funk. The rehearsals for that song have been amazing. Greg Shumate and Ramona Blaine are on that song as well as many others. But we're doing some Led Zeppelin, rock and roll. We're going to be doing some country songs. Who are
Livin' La Vida Loca?
Yeah, Livin' La Vida Loca by Ricky Martin.
Locked Out of Heaven by Bruno Mars. Knock on Wood by Eddie Floyd, I think.
Yeah, that's actually part of a soul medley that we're doing. Hmm. So, you know, and medleys have become more popular as part of our show performance over the years because it's allowed us to get several great songs in the show where previously one of the, I think, more frustrating things that we do as part of the executive committee in selecting the songs is leaving great songs on the cutting room floor, right? It's like, oh, wait, we don't have time to include that one. So, what has that been, 3 years ago we started doing medleys? Mm-hmm. And that's worked out beautifully because then you can get, you know, three or four songs, great songs in a, you know, 5 minute time span.
It also cuts the transition time between songs. Just to get an idea of the format here, we don't have two songs in a row where all the same people are on stage. So it's not like one band is up there for an hour and then another band comes up and takes their place. One drummer may play two or three songs in a row and then another drummer comes on, same bass player might stay on. So the medleys keep that going quickly so there's not as much change.
So what's the atmosphere like, John? Do you get people dancing in the aisles and doing other crazy stuff at this?
Absolutely. The first few songs, usually people are politely clapping after every song, which if they did that the whole night, we'd all need a lot of therapy to get over it. But by the fourth or fifth song, people are up in the aisles. There's an area in front of the stage where everybody's dancing. It is a very informal, not a theater feeling atmosphere.
And somehow, Alicia, the Carnegie survives this event, doesn't it?
We do, pretty much by the skin of our teeth after these guys are done rocking out. Yes, we enjoy this event very much.
Are they good and do they clean things up after themselves pretty well?
They're very nice boys and girls, yes. They all clean up after themselves.
How does this stack up against other events that are held at the Carnegie?
Sure. Our other major fundraiser is called The Art of Food. It's mm-hmm. in February, and it's becoming a bigger event, but that's an event one night where we have 500 people come in and do tastings from 17 to 18 different restaurants, local restaurants. And they get an art experience with that, a visual art experience. But this has become really our signature event, Suits That Rock. It's our chance to throw open the doors of the theater and put on a big, huge rock concert and just watch everybody have a lot of fun.
And is John being honest when he says people are actually dancing in the aisles and that kind of thing?
I've witnessed it, yes.
Yeah. That's true.
Now, I've even seen some of my relatives doing that.
Kevin, so the core group remains pretty much the same each year? Four Suits That Rock?
It has the last few years. However, a couple years ago, we introduced a new facet to the program called Guest Suits, mm-hmm. which was designed to bring in some new talent, new participants. And the way that works is we have, you might imagine, Mark, over time, we have so many people come up to us individually that are members of Suits That Rock or performers and say, I want to be part of the show. I'd love to participate. And we develop a working roster of names and what companies they're affiliated with or organizations. And depending on what instrument they play or if they're a vocalist, we kind of look at what our needs are year to year. And then we may invite a few of those people to join us. So Tim Schickel is a perfect example. He's the fund-to-funds manager for Centrifuge. Tim has an incredible studio in his basement at his home. He plays the guitar. He loves blues music. He's a guest suit this year. He's going to perform All Right Now by Free. Is that Free or Bad Company?
Free.
Yeah, Free. Yeah, so you always have
I couldn't
to kind
keep
of be
that
on
straight
your toes.
Either.
Yeah, I know. Paul Rogers, that's all you have to remember. But yeah, Tim's doing that song, and we have some other guest suits, and that's an element that really allows us to expand the participation, but also it allows us to infuse some new players and some new energy. And it's a one-time commitment, so you get 1 year, you know, two shows, and you know, it's optional as to whether or not we might, you know, bring the person back for another performance.
Who are some of the other guest suits this year, John?
Roger Roser of the Eisen Agency is one of our guest suits. He's a singer and a bass player. Nancy Grayson, who actually was a suit between 2009 and 2011, moved to Boston with her husband in 2011. Now she's come back, but you come back as a guest suit. And she's a vocalist. I remember the first time I heard Nancy do a Janis Joplin song. You know, here's somebody that actually worked for me at one point, had no idea of the vocal chops that this girl had, and she just nailed it. And also Mark Fisher, who's a professor at, I guess it's Mount St. Joseph University now, in physics.
So we know this is a lot of fun for the audience. What's it like for the performers? What's this whole experience
like?
Oh, wow.
It's incredible. John alluded to that earlier. I've always said that the audience is an extension of us on stage. I mean, because these are all people that either know us from the community or their family, friends, or their supporters of the Carnegie. And the energy is just incredible. Because everyone's up there loving what they do, and that's really the most important thing. We're benefiting an important mm-hmm. organization and charity in the region, so we know all the money is going for a very good cause. And we're getting to play music, which we love to do, and we've got an audience who loves what we're doing. So that's a recipe for euphoria. I mean, it's great. And there is one golden rule that John has for all of us. he already knows what I'm going to say, and that is that, you know, the more they drink, the better we sound, not the more we drink. You know, we have to kind of mind our P's and Q's and focus on what we're doing and let the audience have a really good time, and they certainly do.
John, you ever get the butterflies before you do this?
Never.
Never?
Really? Interestingly enough, it's excitement on the morning of the first show that doesn't resemble butterflies at all. It's just, I can't wait to do it. And I can't explain that. I don't come from a family of musical performers, but there's something about playing music that's just so much fun. It's hard to pay attention to any reason you might want to be nervous.
And Kevin, what about you? Do you ever get nervous before this?
Yeah, I don't think it's like John described. It's not necessarily being nervous as it is amped up. I'm just energized. I'm excited. And that's what I think a lot of people who are involved with suits, that's what they feel. I'm certain that some people might be a little nervous. But you lose the nervousness if you are immediately, because the surroundings and the environment and the atmosphere are just so welcoming and so supportive. I mean, it really is. I don't want to be too cliche here, but it's just like a great big family. You're among friends and everybody's having a great time, and you can't help but enjoy that.
Alicia, give us the dates and times.
It'll be June 20th, and then the show repeats on the 27th, and okay. The doors open at 6.
7.
7. Concert starts at 8. Thanks,
website
John.
For finding more information.
TheCarnegie.com.
Okay, and you can find a link to that at WVXU.org. John, Kevin, and Alicia, thank you for joining us this afternoon. John DeMosco and Kevin Canifax, two of the founders of Suits That Rock, and Alicia Krall, Deputy Director of the Carnegie. Thanks for listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Archives of our programs are available at WVXU.org. Today's program was produced by Pete Reitmeier with help from Kevin Reynolds and Jim Nolan. The technical director was Bruce Ellis. I'm Mark Haney. Stay tuned for Here and Now on 91.7 WVXU.